Thanks for joining us for the Sermon Podcast here at Cornerstone Community Church in Galax, Virginia. We are in a series called Prove It, and we're going through the book of 1 John. How do we prove our faith? We prove it by the way we live our life. Thanks for joining us through this series, and if you want to find out more about Cornerstone, visit us online at mycornerstone.org.
Good morning. Welcome to Cornerstone. It's good to see everybody here today. Hope you've had a good weekend. I do have some sad news to share with you today. Remember the Price family in your prayers. Steve Price, who's gone here from really the beginning of Cornerstone, he passed away last night. So remember Jenny, his wife, and Tony, his brothers, who's usually back in the cafe, and Tony's one of our elders as well. Tony and Nikki, remember them. It's Tony's brother. So pray for the family, be with them, and we'll let you know more about arrangements over the next few days as we find out information for you guys. But he's been in the hospital, Steve, was for about the last 4 weeks, so it's or maybe 5 weeks. So it's been a rough time for them. But just lift the family up in your prayers, and we would appreciate that, and I'm sure they would appreciate that as well. So we're in a series today called Prove It. And here at Cornerstone, we've been going through the book of 1 John. And this is a book that's really centered around love. And that's, we kind of been talking about a lot of different things as we've gotten into this book. We've talked about who Jesus is. We've talked about sin. We've talked about truth and all this. And we've kind of getting now to the core of the book. And it really is a book about love. We should love one another. And I know that you say that and we hear that, and it sounds so obvious that as believers in Jesus, we should be known for our love. That's what even Jesus, you know, we hear that they will know you are my disciples by your love. And so we know that intellectually, but still yet we struggle with it, because in the real world, you look around and everywhere you look, it seems like we see broken relationships. See people who are angry, resentful, we see violence, we see grudges, we see bitterness, we see hatred, we see all sorts of things going on. And that's inside the church, that's outside the church, that's in your workplace, that's in your school, that's everywhere. As we see people who simply cannot get along. And my question for us this morning, are we okay with that? As believers in Jesus, are we okay with that? Are we okay with people constantly being mad and upset and frustrated and bitter and angry, all those things? Or is there another way we can live? I want to challenge us today as we get into God's Word. Let's really open ourselves to what does it look like? What would happen if we got serious about living the life that Christ has called us to live? Now, this is a real problem, and this is really, I think this is so important for us this morning. Throughout the book of 1 John, John uses contrast a lot. He's very kind of, I've mentioned it before, he's kind of a black and white type of guy. It's either, there's really no middle ground when John writes, and so he uses contrast pretty effectively to help us understand. And so throughout this book, we've already encountered quite a few contrasts. Starting in chapter 1, he talks about you either walk in darkness or you walk in light. Chapter 1, he says you either say we have no sin or we confess our sin. We either keep God's commands or we do not keep God's commands. Chapter 2, those who love the world and those who love the Father. In chapter 2, it talks about you either deny Christ or you confess Christ. It talks about you're either confident at Christ coming or you're ashamed at Christ coming. And it talks about those who commit sin and those who do what is right, and children of the devil and children of God, those who hate your brother and those who love your brother. There's very much these distinctions we see. And so as we jump in today, what you learn very quickly is John really kind of grabs our attention, and it really forces us when we read things like this. It's like, where do we land? Where are we at on the spectrum? If there is no middle ground, then I think so many Christians think we can kind of ride just right down the center and not really pick a side. And John forces us and says, okay, where are you? What do you believe? And what do your actions match what you say? And so this, is, I think, is a powerful way for us to learn. This question that we kind of we find ourselves dealing with is we live in this world that needs love so much and yet is missing it so much. Why isn't there more love? Why isn't the church known more as a people, as a called out people who love God and love others? Why are we known not for our love, but more for our condemnation? Why are we known more about what we're against instead of what we're for? That's kind of the question we find ourselves wrestling with this morning. And as I've said, as we've gone through this series, it doesn't mean we compromise truth or compromise conviction when we take a stand, but we can still do that with love, and we can still be known by our love even when we stand firm on the truth. And so our text today kind of reminds us of how powerful love really is. To kind of, as a little bit of an introduction, I want to read the first 10 verses of 1 John chapter 3. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and flip there with me today. That's where we're going to be, 1 John chapter 3. And I'll kind of, this is kind of our introduction to get us to where we're going today. We ended up with chapter 2 last week, so now we'll start here. And it says this, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. So if I stop right there and pause for just a minute, we see already at this chapter, he's starting right off with God loves you. This is so important that we get this, that God truly does love you and he cares about you. Because you're never going to be able to extend that love to others until you have received that love from God. This is really kind of the starting place for us this morning. And it goes on in verse 2, dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure as he is pure. And so because of the love that's been demonstrated to us, because we have this hope, God is coming again. Right? We live a pure life. We are keeping ourselves pure. There's a responsibility on our behalf now on how we live our life, that we live holy lives, pure lives. And he goes on to kind of explain what that looks like. Verse 4, everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning, and I like how this translation kind of translates that because it is kind of a continual sin that he's talking about here. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. And again, here's that contrast, right? Those who know Jesus will live in him, and they're not going to live in sin. But those who don't know him, they're going to continue. When they continue in their sin, they make that same mistake time after time after time. They continue to disobey. What we see is this pretty clear. They don't know him. They don't even understand who God is. Because if you understand who God is, you're not going to be able to continually disobey him time after time after time. And so we see that again, this kind of very clear contrast for us. Verse 7, it says, dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they're children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and who does not love other believers does not belong to God. And that last verse is pretty clear, right? It's pretty challenging to us. If you don't if you don't live righteously, if you don't love others, and we see this new concept now introduced, and it's like, okay, well, here's another proof. If you want to prove your faith, then are you living righteously? Do you understand who Jesus is? Do you understand what sin is? Do you understand what Jesus did on our behalf to forgive us of our sins? And as a result of that, we're living now, right? We're living pure lives, righteous lives, holy lives. And that's one kind of proof of what we believe. But the other proof is, do you love other believers? And that's really what we're going to be kind of unpacking today. And if I titled this morning's message, it would be, how is your love life? And because that's really what we're talking about. How's your love life? And I'm not talking about a romantic love. I'm talking about your love life with other believers. How are you treating other people? Do you really love them, or do you just say that you do? And so this is kind of, John is just kind of digging in. He's kind of, we see these same themes over and over again about holiness and love and living righteously and faith and love. And I'm just telling you, as we go through Scripture, we just see this so much. And this is really so important. Here's the first point if you're following along today. And it's simply this: love is at the heart of the gospel. We've got to understand this, that love is at the heart of the gospel. When we go back to John 3:16, so the Gospel of John, this is kind of one of the most succinct passages, one of the most well-known passages, because it explains to us the gospel in a nutshell, right? And John 3:16, we'll look at it here. It says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life." But it starts off with God loved the world. And really at the heart of this is that God cares about you. He cares about me so much that He was willing to send Jesus to make a way. Even though this world was broken because of sin, God loved us, and God sent Jesus so that we could be reconciled, that we could be restored, that we could be redeemed, right? That we could be forgiven, and that we could now have a relationship with the God who created us. And the reason He did that, it was not motivated out of obligation. God was motivated out of His love for us. And so love is at the very heart of the gospel. But it's not just God loved us. Now we understand what He did for us, and our only response is simply love Him in return. And that's really what we get into here in John chapter 3. Let's pick it up in verse 11, because this type of love He has for us, it demands a response from us. It says, "This is the message you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another." Okay, we know that. We've heard that. "We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and killed his brother." And so now we're going all the way back to Genesis chapter 4 to talk about the fall that happened in chapter 3 of Genesis. And now we're seeing this is the effects of the fall, is what Cain did. Why did he kill his brother? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother had been doing what was righteous. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. And so we're just kind of reminded here, this is the message you have heard from the beginning, is that you should love one another. Again, this is the gospel response when Jesus was asked, "Well, how do you summarize all the Old Testament? What law is, which command is most important?" What did He say? "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." And so what we see here is this kind of put in practice. And John is just saying, okay, you know this, that you should love one another. And Cain is the perfect example of what you should not be like. And the gospel message is simply this: we should love. Do you understand how much it's repeated time after time after time in Scripture about love? I want to take us kind of on a path here through the New Testament, just so you can hear it over and over again, how much God talks about love. Just so I think He just wants to make sure we get this. John 13:34. We'll start there in the Gospel of John. It says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I've loved you. You should love each other. In the next verse, it talks, it's not on there, but it talks about they'll know you're my disciples by your love. John 15:12. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. John 15:17. This is my command. Love each other. You seeing a recurring pattern yet? Romans 12, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Let's see, Romans 13:8. Owe nothing to anyone except your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. And so what we're seeing that everything's kind of flowing out of this love that we have, this love for God and this love for others. And then the next one is, I've got is Galatians 5:13, and it says, for you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. And so what we're seeing here, it's not just John, it's not just Peter, it's Paul, it's Jesus. Time and time again, we're seeing this same message proclaimed in Scripture. Ephesians 4 says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. 1 Thessalonians 3, and may the Lord make your love for one another and all people grow and overflow just as our love for you overflows. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but we don't need to write you about the importance of loving each other, for God himself has taught you to love one another. Hebrews 10, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. 1 Peter 1, verse 22, you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, so now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. 1 Peter 4, most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. And now we're getting ready to jump right in 1 John, where it's over and over again talking about love. Do you think there's a message here we need to hear? Right? I mean, when you read this, it's like, this is one of those things that we know, again, we know it intellectually, but are we really living it out? And if this is the case, why are there so many old, grumpy Christians? I'm just being honest. That's why, I think that's why we got to, and there's young, grumpy Christians too. I don't want to discriminate on age. It's not just old people. It's young, grumpy people too. There's a whole lot of grumpy, angry, frustrated, bitter Christians out there that are not known by their love. And so when we read all these verses, like, what do we do with it? What do we do with it? Because it's so clear that this is what we should look like. This is how we should live. Again, it's not about who we condemn. It's about how we love. And so, yes, we can deal with sin in our life. That's what we've been talking about in 1 John. But it starts in here, and then we demonstrate our love for others, right? This is just what it comes down to is that love is at the heart of the gospel. And when we grasp that, and the gospel is not just something that saves us, but something we live by, something that empowers us day by day, that's what enables us to really love. We've received the love of the Father. Now we can share that love with others. And it's just understanding that. It's understanding the gospel, understanding what Jesus really did. And when we do that, it gives us the strength to make these choices day after day to truly love. And so that's the first thing. Here's the second thing we learned today, is that love provides assurance that we have eternal life. This whole series is like proof. Prove it. And so what am I talking about? What is the proof of our faith? And so one of the lessons we learn in 1 John is that as we go through 1 John, we get all these evidences, we get these assurances. How can we know that we really are a believer? And one of those evidences that we see here is how we love each other. It's the proof of what we say we believe. So let's pick it up in verse 14. It says, if we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. That's a pretty plain statement, right? If we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. This goes back really to Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 when he talks about, you've heard it said, but I tell you that if you hate your brother, you have committed murder in your heart. That's really going back to that same line of thinking is that when we have hate, when we harbor hate in ourselves, it's just proof to the world that we don't really believe in God. And that may sound a little strong. But I think it's us going back to realize what are we doing as believers? Can we really truly hate someone and want to see? I mean, what happens when we do that? I mean, it what happens, right? When you have bitterness, where you have anger and you hold on to it, it just kind of takes root, doesn't it? It's all you think about. It doesn't. You can't think about things of God. All you think about is how to get back or get even. And it's saying if that's what's in your mind, if that's the tape that's playing in your mind all the time, then do you really know God? Because God, what He's telling us is we need to love each other. We need to pray for those people. We need to care about those, even those people that we don't really even like. And so what he's saying here is eternal life is not earned by loving others, but rather loving others is evidence that we have eternal life. And so if I can love my brothers and sisters in the community of faith that we're in, that's proof, that's evidence that I am a child of God, that I'm in the family of God. It's interesting, he uses this word brothers here, and it's translated here brothers and sisters, but it's this view, he uses it 15 times in the book of 1 John. And every time he's talking about the family of God. And so really what he's telling us here, we've got to get it right in here if we want to have an impact out there. Right? We've got to get it right in here. We've got to love each other with the type of love that we can only receive from God. If we can do that in here, then it makes it a whole lot easier to go out there and start sharing what we believe. It gives us power in our witness. Galatians 6:10 says this, that therefore, as we have opportunity, we must work for the good of all, especially for those who belong to the household of faith. And so what John is telling us here is, again, if we can get it right in here, that's a huge first step for us. I look around in the world today, and what this world needs, they need to know that we care. They need to know that we care. If they're going to believe what we say, they need to know we care. I've heard it said that service and love, it's the modern day the main apologetic that this world needs. And I believe that. They don't need us arguing with them. What they need to know is that we care. You've heard the saying that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And there's so much truth in that in this world we live in today. John says he's saying it pretty simply. If you don't have love, you don't have life. Love and hate are opposites, and both cannot reside, they can't reside in the same heart at the same time, right? You either love or you hate. There's no middle ground here. I love what one pastor said. He says, our love for one another, it is the flower and the fruit that indicates eternal life is at the root. That's the evidence, right? I mean, that's what people can see. That's what they can taste. That's the evidence that they see of what's at the root of our life. And so we've got to understand that it provides that assurance, not only for us, but it proves to the world what we believe. And then the next point, as we keep going, what does love do? It requires more than just talk. And we're good at talking about love. We're good about singing about love. I mean, have you ever like paid attention on the radio? I shouldn't say radio anymore. Spotify, Apple Music, whatever. Do you ever pay attention to how many songs are about love now? I mean, it's like every song is about love, unless you listen to country music, then it's beer and pickup trucks. But and love somehow in that too. But it's most songs are about love. We hear about love. We talk about love. It's kind of dominates our everything we see and hear about. But is there more to it than just what we say and sing? I mentioned earlier John 3:16. All right. Now let's look at 1 John 3:16. It says, "We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters." So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. And so what we see here, real love is not just it's not just spoken, it's shown. It's tangible. You can see it. You can experience it. It's not just something we talk about. I've been blessed to be able to officiate a number of weddings over the years. And one of the things I almost always add in is I'll say something about real love. I'll say, like, real love is something beyond excitement and romance. Real love is more than a feeling. It is a choice. Now, at the end of the ceremony, legally, you will be husband and wife, but you must still choose each day that stretches out before you that you want to be married. And we can kind of understand that in a romantic sense, that love, when we really put the needs of that other person before our own, it's not all about us, right? And so, you know, my advice to couples is you don't always feel loving. You're not always very lovable. But love is that choice that you make. It's more than just that feeling. It's more than just that that romantic feeling you get at first. And I think people kind of understand that a little bit. But do we take that same type of philosophy? And when we read 1 Corinthians 13 and read all the characteristics of love, and we understand that in the context of marriage. But do we ever stop and apply that to the context of our other relationships? Do you ever really stop and think about, okay, each day that goes before me, I've got to choose to love these other people in this church that I go to? Because they're not all very loving, and I'm not always very lovable, right? And so we've got to understand, we've got to make allowance, as Paul says, for each other's faults. You've got to understand there's going to be personalities differences. But you've also got to understand that as children of God, we have the same goal in mind. We have a mission. We have a vision as a church that we want to see people come to Christ. We want to disciple them. We want to send them out to serve others. This is kind of who we are. And if it doesn't, you're not always going to agree on everything. You're not always going to get along. But as believers, let's put that behind us and let's move forward together. Love requires more than just talk. So if we claim to love our neighbor, can we prove it? How do we prove it? It's the proof is in our sacrifice. And John points to Jesus' death here as the ultimate example of an act of love. He laid down his life for us, and because of that, we're called to make sacrifices for others. That doesn't mean that each one of us is going to be called to die physically and, you know, on behalf of someone else. Maybe we're put in that situation one day, but we are called to die to ourselves every day. We are called to make sacrifices on behalf of others. I read this week. It said there's no love without surrender. There's no love without understanding. There's no love without pain. There's no love without giving. There's no love without listening. There's no love without caring. There's no love without the willingness and the ability to sacrifice all of these things and more. Love without sacrifice is like an ocean without water. And so love really does require a sacrifice. Otherwise, it's just talk. Otherwise, it's just us babbling on about what we want to do. But when we actually put it into practice, it requires sacrifice. And we kind of see that here as we keep going. We see a very practical example of that in verse 17. It says, if someone has enough money to live well, and you see a brother or sister in need, but you show no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show, our actions will prove that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and He knows everything. And so John kind of brings us back to earth and says, okay, you say that you love others, then how can you ignore people in need? How can you ignore it when a brother or sister, when you see an opportunity to make a difference in someone's life and you just ignore it, how can you say you're a believer? And one thing I love about this church is there's a lot of things going on almost on a weekly basis. Some of the things we talk about, some of the things we don't even mention. But yesterday, if you're on our service team, earlier in the week you got an email about Cornerstone was going to put a roof on someone's house. And we had, I think, 7 or 8 guys yesterday show up to put a roof on someone's house that needed it. And I'll just kind of tell you what happened. Someone drove by and saw that a person needed a roof on their house, that the roof was in bad shape. And it was someone in this community that's very well loved, that we care about. And so they kept driving by. They stopped, asked questions, found out what was needed. And so they just got together and said, let's put a roof on the house. And because of this church has built up resources for us to reach into the community and do things, they were able to do that yesterday. And that's a blessing, right? But it's not something that I said, hey, let's go do something. It's just someone said, hey, there's a need. Let's do something about it. There's a need. Can we make a difference? And that when God's people start noticing opportunities, right? When we start we get so busy, we get so full, we get so frustrated that we can barely keep our eyes on ourselves and what we have to get done. But when we build in a little margin in our schedule, when we kind of take the time to notice, it's amazing what happens. And you get that happening in a whole church full of people. That's the church being the church. That's the church demonstrating love. Again, it's not programmed. It's not some fake. No, it's just people demonstrating God's love to a world that desperately needs it. And so what about the minor opportunities we have for showing love on a daily basis? We may never be called to risk our lives for another believer. But what about those minor opportunities, those God opportunities, those divine appointments day after day after day that God places in our path? Are we seizing those opportunities to show God's love? And so John goes on to say that love, it's not simply felt, it's not simply thought, it's got to be active. Verse 18, right, we read, don't just say that we love each other, let's show it. Let's show it. And I love that love requires compassion, love requires action. I've heard it said that we're never more like Jesus than when we're serving someone. And I really believe that, because when we serve someone, it's not about us. It's about what we can do for them. The last thing that I kind of want to share this morning, as we learn an overall lesson from this, is our actions are the outcomes of our attitudes. there's a lesson here that when what we dwell on kind of leads to how the choices we make and the lives we live. And there's kind of two contrasting things here. I don't know if you picked up on or not. One, it talks about Cain and about how his hatred led to murder. Now, that's a pretty big step, right? But you think about that. And when you think about it, that's all that's in your mind is that hatred and bitterness. And again, it's like, how can I get back? How can I get even? And so you're constantly scheming and striving to do something. You're thinking about how you can destroy life, not give life. But on the flip side, if love is what you're thinking about, how can I love others? Then it's going to lead you to an action of sacrifice. How can I give life to that person? And now we may not all be, I think what you understand here, right? If we're harboring hatred and bitterness and anger in our hearts, then it's the same as murder because that's our motive. And so really our motives matter. You know, in this world, if you appear before a judge in a courtroom, they're able to judge your actions. What happened? What did you do? What did you see? What, you know, they want to know the actions. But God judges us not by our actions, but by our motives. And that's a little scary, right? Because we can hide our motives with the people around us, but God sees them. And that's really what this gets at, too. What are our motives? What are those attitudes that are under the surface? What are we feeding and how are we developing? Are we trying to live our life in a way of love? Are we trying to give life or are we trying to take life? I think this is so important for us to understand. If you're that person that's always complaining, that's always grumpy, that's always critical of everybody and everything and everyone, you're not giving life, you're taking life. But at the same token, right, you can demonstrate love in so many minor ways just by word of encouragement, just by stopping to ask someone how they're doing. Just by taking a meal to someone in need, just by serving, just by noticing opportunities, our actions really are the outcomes of our attitude. Jesus, he laid down his life for us. That's the example that he has set before us. And as we keep going here, just a few more verses, verse 21. It says, dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence. In other words, right, when you start loving others, you don't live a life of regrets. You don't live a life saying, I wish I would have. I had an opportunity, but yet I didn't. You don't beat yourself up. Instead, you have bold confidence. You don't feel guilty. You don't feel ashamed. You don't feel unworthy. Instead, you know who you are. You're a child of God, and you have faith in that. You have confidence in that. No one can take that away from you, right? This is what I'm talking about. This is proof of our relationship with God, and if we don't feel guilty, then, man, that means we just have that relationship, that fellowship with God. And it says in verse 22, we'll receive from him whatever we ask because we obey him and we do the things that please him. Doesn't mean that God's going to give you a blank check, but it means that we're going to be so in tune with God that his desires are our desires and we're going to have everything we need or want because we are just that close to God. So again, this is what it's looking like when we really start living our life like this. Verse 23, and this is his commandment. We must believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. We believe, and that leads to our love. Just as he commanded us, those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him and he with them. And we know he lives in us because the Spirit he gave us lives in us. Man, this final assurance that we have, how do you know you're a believer? There's kind of three things we've been working on so far in this series. It's first, I would say, is belief. Do you believe the right things about Jesus? How do you know you're a Christian? First, what do you believe about Jesus? Let's get that right. Because we need to understand who Jesus really is, that he was God in the flesh. Then obedience. Am I obeying God as I should? Because our obedience proves to the world. Our obedience is a response to what God has done. Our obedience is a result of what we really believe about God. And then the third thing that we've kind of added in today is our love. Do we really love others? And he's telling us here that one of the ways you can know you have this love is because the Holy Spirit is inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit. That's what empowers you. This is not something you do on your own strength. This is something that God is working inside of you. This Holy Spirit is revealing truth to us. The Holy Spirit is helping us. It's helping us display the fruit of the Spirit in our life. It's helping us to take an interest in spiritual things. It's convicting us of sin when we're wrong. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But all those things lead us to living out our faith and love. And so again, let me just kind of challenge you today. It's like, are you really sure of what you believe? Do you have the right beliefs about Jesus? Are you obeying him like you should? Are you loving others like he commanded us to? All three of those things, they're proof of our faith. Now, our faith comes when we put our faith and our trust in Jesus to save us. It's not based on anything we have done. It's based on what he did for us. But our response to that shows our understanding of that. And I think that's what this whole series is doing. How well do we understand the gospel? How well do we understand it? Because if we really understand it, we're going to live it. And if not only we're going to live it, we're going to live it out by displaying love to those around us. I'm going to ask the praise team to come back up as we close today. I want to pray together with us before we enter our response time. So would you guys bow your heads? Would you pray with me today? Heavenly Father, we thank you today. And we can dig into your word, that we can learn from it. I'm so thankful that your word convicts us. And I pray that today, if there's bitterness or anger or hatred or any of those feelings or thoughts and attitudes in our minds, Lord, that we would be able to deal with them today. I pray that we could start demonstrating love to others. That we would be known as people who give life instead of take life. Lord, I'm thankful for this church and for the way that the people in this church look to serve in this community and share the love of Christ. May we continue to do that. May we continue to be a light on a hill that people can brightly see Jesus. And I pray, Lord, for people in this room. I pray for those who are Christians, who are believers, but who may be struggling with some doubt and insecurity and fear. May they have that bold confidence to know that you have saved them and that you have empowered them to go out and live this kind of life that we're talking about this morning. I also pray for those here this morning that are struggling and say, I don't think I do know God as my Savior. My prayer is that they would believe the words of Jesus, that we would believe that God, you did send Jesus to die for our sins, that we would confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we would believe in our hearts, God, that you raised him from the dead. And when we do that, Lord, I'm confident, we know you have promised us that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Lord, I'm so thankful that we can encourage one another. Will you help us to truly love one another? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning as we close, it's your opportunity to respond. And you can respond in a number of ways here at Cornerstone. You can come to the cross and write out any prayer requests you may have there at the cross and drop them in the box. You can receive communion this morning. And that's a way of us remembering what Christ has done for us while we look forward to his return. Maybe you want to talk or pray. I'll be in the back. I would love to talk and pray with you. maybe there's a next step that God is calling you to take. If you look at your communication card, there's a few that you can mark there. Know that if you fill that out and turn those in, we'll be praying for you this week, and we'll do anything we can to support you and to help you in your walk with Christ. But we're going to stand together as we worship, and let's just thank God today for His love for us.